Hello, hello. Chris is today's guest on the podcast, and this time around, this was fun. We got into a lot of childhood nostalgia, talking actually about kind of our sports and pop culture heroes, how that led to some of the views on body image and kind of what the ideal, air quotes, guy's body, you know, should be, I guess. And then you definitely get away from that as you get older and as you have more responsibilities and as just your outlook on life changes. But there's still some remnants of it there. And we actually get into that as well. As always, we had a number of topics that we were going to talk about and then got into a couple of those, but then jumped off into some others. So this, as always, super fun discussion. Now, as you're listening to us talk here, if you like what you hear, and if you're not connected with Chris, he is on Instagram. I've got his profile linked up in the show notes here. But definitely just one of the most super supportive folks that you're ever going to come across in the fitness community. And this was, as always, as I said, this was a fun chat. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think of it. Of course, always let me know. You can always DM me on Instagram as well. And without further ado, here's the chat with Chris. Guys, this is the second episode of From a Guy's Perspective. I have Chris on the line with me. And you know FatboyRuns99 from Instagram. We've done a few podcasts before. And I was really excited when we started when I did the chat with Jack and Willie. I wanted to have you on, and then you listened to the second half of that podcast where I kind of talked about my teenage formative weight loss, you know, obsession years with men's health. And you're like, "Hey, I've got a similar story to that." So we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to kind of tie that into kind of how that stuff kind of sticks with you as you grow up and start having a family of your own and your own life, but there's still remnants of that stuff in your head from here and there. But the first thing, Chris, that I'd like to get into is let's just, you know, talk a little bit about your experience with men's health and those magazines. And if you remember kind of like your first memory of really getting hooked and just kind of where it took you.
So I remember it was towards the end of high school. Like I played football in high school and such, and I remember you know, really was with my cousins. Like they were like really getting into the bodybuilding aspect of it, and of course, you know, me being younger, so we're talking like towards the end of high school, so we're talking about mid 90s or so. And you know, I started watching them, you know, trying to lift the weights and such, and they, and you know, and then being into sports and such, and seeing like, you know, you saw all the athletes, like you saw the Bo Jacksons, you saw the Michael Jordans, and then even being younger, you had He-Man figures and you know, stuff like that, and you think this is how a man should look. A man should be jacked. He should have the washboard abs and such, because that's all you're fed through, because you know, you grew up watching, you know, Commando, Rambo, you know, all the action heroes, all the stuff. And then I see my cousins and they're lifting weights, and we were all into, you know, at those times we're watching the sports, you know, Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, and then you also had like wrestling, and you had Hulkamania and such.
And yeah, and it was interesting because when you brought up the athletes, yes, Bo Jackson, and I remember there was this sports card set, and it had this, there's this picture of Bo Jackson wearing the shoulder pads, didn't have a jersey on. You can see like just ripped beyond belief. But in that same series, there was a picture of Ricky Henderson, and I think this was the year he won the, like he took the all-time stolen base title or record. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting on bases. Kind of the same thing. Like he's got probably like biker shorts on, and he's holding a bat, and he's like, he's gripping the bat. So his arms and his, and just like forearms and everything are just like, you know, flexed. And I remember this. And if I'm thinking, I was probably only like 9 years old when I saw that. Now wrestling, it's kind of funny because you mentioned Rambo and Stallone and Dolph Lundgren from, you know, Rocky IV. Like these were superheroes, and then you had the wrestlers that, I mean, they were larger than life, and just
it's huge then. Concept. It was huge then, because you remember like Ultimate Warrior and stuff, and just seeing them, and you were just like, that's how a man should look, because that's what you take in so much. And it was crazy, and that's what set your standards. So then I see my, you know, my cousins and stuff, because my cousin, like, I idolized him. He was few grades ahead of me, so everything he did, he's like, oh, I'm playing football. Oh, I'm playing it too. I'm doing this. I'm getting this haircut. Oh, I'm getting it too. You know, I'm getting into it. So I just idolized him. And then, you know, you got all that coming in, so you thought that's how a man looked like. I mean, I had my father at home, and he had the bare belly. You know, he still has it to this day. He's got the skinny body, but just the gut. And, you know, but, you know, that's dad. You know, that's my dad. And yes, I respect him, but what I'm thinking, what a man should look like, is, you know, just what I see on TV. I mean, my action figures, my He-Man figures, they were all ripped, they were all cut. So you just think, if you're supposed to be a manly man, that's what you achieve, that's what you strive for, you know.
And
And
those He-Man figures in particular, because they lit, I mean, they were the V shape. Like they were the
exactly.
absolute V-shaped torso. And yeah, I mean, you just if you were a kid that grew up in the 80s, if you were a guy in the 80s, like this was what you were supposed to look like. And it was from all forms of media. Yeah, it's just interesting thinking about that.
It was funny too, because even a guy at my work, we were just joking, and like, we're like, wow, you know, you have all these different type of like CrossFitters and stuff. He's like, growing up in the 80s, the only thing you have, how much can you bench? How much can you bench? That's what everybody would say. Oh, I work out, how much do you bench? And like, people would be, oh, I'm only like 10% body. We don't care, how much do you bench? You know, that was the whole
That's
thing.
right.
You know, so that was the whole mindset, and the whole, you know, what was just drilled into us left and right. And then when I listened to your podcast, and then I was just like, yes, this the men's perspective. We get drilled just as much as the females. They think we don't get it, because, you know, the whole thing now, everything is dad bod, and dad bod's cool, and, you know, being like this is cool. But no, we were just drilled. This was drilled into us as well. You know, just having this, you know, you had to have the washboard abs, you had to have the six pack, you had to have this. I mean, like, look at Top Gun. They're like every movie with men, you know,
The volleyball
the
scene in Top
volleyball
Gun.
scene with the shirt off. And like, you was talking about the baseball cards, as you was talking about that.
Yes,
I remember the
man.
one card with Jose Canseco, and he was like, he had his shirt off. There was one baseball card. It was, I think it was like a Dunruss Premier, and it was Jose Canseco with his shirt off, and he was just like, you know, just like, you know, when he played for the A's, for the A's. And then I just remember that picture. I can remember that card like it was yesterday, with him in his shirt off, and being like, my gosh, not knowing, you know, everybody was juicing then, but that was the time. Or even when the Red Sox, when we had the Bash Brothers, we had like him, Mo Vaughn, and when I watched the replays, like, those guys were ripping out of their uniforms. Like, you couldn't even, they couldn't even fit. I mean, but Jose, he would have to like clip the sleeves and roll them up, and his arms were just busting through.
Well,
And I
and
was just like, that's how you should look.
I remember seeing those guys in batting practice. I mean, like,
Yes.
because to your point, like, and look, man, if you're built like that, you're not wearing sleeves ever. Like, you don't care. So, like, yeah, I mean, you see these guys, and they got the swagger. They're walking up to the cage. They got the hat on backwards, and they're just
Yes.
gripping the bat. And then, like, you hear the sound of the ball off the bat, and you're like, man, I want to do that.
Exactly.
I mean, even to the point when we were teenagers, they had when Maguire and Sosa were going after the home run title. I mean, Nike did the commercial that was Chicks Dig the Long Ball. And it was true. Like,
Yes.
reinforces all this stuff that we thought growing up as kids, man. It's crazy.
It was crazy. It was a crazy, and I mean, that's all we got fed in left and right, left and right. And like, you know, and then I'm like thinking to myself, like, I remember just like watching, and just like, I'm gonna start working out. I'm drinking milk because I'm only 5'6". I need to be taller. I want to, you know, I want to be able to dunk a basketball. I want to look like these guys. And it was just crazy. And I just know, like, you know, once I got to a certain age and people started going past me and such, and I just knew I was not gonna achieve what, you know, that it was, it really let me down. And I think that's, you know, kind of what drove me to, like, you know, started putting on weight and such, because it's like, you know, I just knew that I was, you know, I was being like, half of the kids were in, you know, senior year, half of the kids were like growing past me. I'm like looking up at them, and I knew, you know, that I wasn't going to be an athlete, and I was not going to be one of these guys.
I had a similar experience in high school because when we start, I have been, I might be 5'7". And I have been this height since I was 13 years old. So like when we, I went from in middle school, I was always playing power forward and I was always playing third base, first base. If we were playing baseball and then got to high school and then slowly I had to start going from playing forward to playing just playing like two guard. And then it was just like, by the time I was a junior, like everybody had passed me up, and I had a similar thing. I'm like, you know, I'm not gonna be an athlete. But then I started kind of. That's when I started looking at kind of like the physique type stuff, and it wasn't necessarily a conscious decision. But as I think about the timing of it now, there probably was some logical. Well, you know, I can't really play. I'm not gonna be playing sports other than like for fun at this point. But like, yeah, you start to look in another direction then.
Yeah, that's what came into me. It was if anybody knows me outside, they're like his, like my clothes, my shoes, my hat, my shirt, always matching. Like I've got like over 30, and I'm like, okay, I know I can't match with some of these guys physically. Yeah. So I kind of channeled that into kind of like, you know, I would always dress. At least they could say, well, Chris is always dressed on point. And, you know, he's got a good sense of humor, you know, and I would always, you know, I was the funny guy and I always dressed and I always matched. So that's kind of where my angle where like, you know, around 11, 12 grade, once I saw, you know, that happening. And till this, like you said, like we were talking stuff that still stay with you to this day. I still kind of have that. About me with the clothing and such like that. So, but
well, and that's a whole nother thing too, because all the stuff that was, they're not even kind of sly about it. I mean, all the styles, all the brands, we were joking about the magazine cover and how it would look like not just the headlines. It could literally be something out of today. 'Cause the kid was wearing Champion shorts. And all these brands, I mean, they've made a comeback, and it's all the stuff that all the retro stuff that we loved. So yeah, I mean, as a as a 30 and 40 something year old man, it's like you can dress like a kid again, which makes sense because you know now now we've got the money to do it. So
yes, yes, I mean it's a shallow thing. It's very shallow, and like I know we've spoke about this. You know, you don't care about what a person has; you care about what's inside of them and Dylan. But still, those stigmas still stick with me to this day.
You know, but the interesting, I think it's an interesting thing though, because like, yeah, it's about the person and the individual. But I mean, there is a lot of nostalgia's fun. And I mean, just you and I in this podcast, again, I knew this was going to be a great conversation, but like the first 10 minutes of us just like reliving all this nostalgia stuff. And then, you know, from the clothing, I mean, that was something like, oh, I remember, gosh, about 6 months ago, that's when Jack got me into the Nike sneaker app, and like, look, like I kind of dove into the whole thing with the Jordans, and it's just like, we all, like most of us do it. So yeah, you could say, you know, is it silly? Yeah, to some extent, but I mean, it's fun too. And we all connect.
It is fun. Yeah. It does unlock, you know, it does unlock stuff, you know, something in you that brings you joy, because I know, well, here I am with the old arcade thing in the background and I look at it. And you know, my kids, they could care less, you know, they could care less. They're like, you got all this junk in here. And yeah, they show it to their friends and they're like, oh my gosh, like their friends, but just like, yeah, my dad, he's late, you know, with all these big things. I could play them on my PS5 and these old games. Who wants them? But it reminds me of a time when I first moved here and I didn't know anybody and I would go into the arcade and it was just like, oh my gosh, like, wow, you know, you know, just hanging out here because, you know, you didn't have these things at home. And that's what, you know, connects me. And that's kind of what I live when I go down there. And I just want to, you know, unwind for a little bit. It reminds me of that time. And, you know, I enjoy that. And that's, you know, just a piece of me. You know, my kids will never understand it because, you know, everything is on demand now. But we had to ride. We had to take a bus and ride three blocks and get to a place to you know, live that. And that's what it reminds me of when I go down there. See that.
Well, and as they get older, I mean, when you would, and I'm sure you've probably explained the story to them somewhat, but like they'll appreciate that. But I know, I mean, anybody that's in our age demo that sees your arcade, we all have the same reaction. we're all envious. We're all going to go hook up our NES little mini NES mini and like play all the games that you have the arcade version of. But I mean, like, yeah, it's and but I think it's really important too. Like, it does remind you of, like, you know, when you first came here and this was the thing to do. And it's because, see, when I think of those games, man, I can still remember we had the arcades here and I can remember that. But I remember a lot of the times where I used to play them was my parents used to bowl, and I would go to the bowling alley with them. And I would, you know, they'd give me like $5 and quarters just to, like, you know, let them go bowl. And I, but I just, I remember like Double Dragon 2 was a big one at the time.
Yep, those were good times. But when you had told me about, the thing when you brought up that, when you brought up the Men's Health, when you brought up that magazine, I knew exactly the one you was talking about, because I remember seeing that cover. And like we said, seeing him with the washboard abs, and was just like, whatever that book tells me to do, that's what I am doing. You know, it's like whatever. Yeah.
And see, the thing about that guy, and even looking at it now, because I wanted to go and find it, and I remembered the exact. I was like, this was August, like this was August or fall 2000, and like I remember when I pulled it up, because like. The guy's very athletic, but that body, that one seems obtainable. Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, Jose Canseco, and Hulk Hogan and all those guys, that didn't seem as attainable. But, like, this guy's look did. And then, you know, you brought up a really good point with it. When you're reading the headlines, I mean, it's stuff that would – it could have been released last week, and it would still have the same effect. And, you know – It is absolutely correct where we've had the same things thrown at us from a body image perspective as what women do. I don't know how many it's been going on there for generations, but I know with our generation, they were pumping it towards the physical appearance. But yeah, man, I mean that just with you, with Men's Health, because you said, I mean, you did the thing and you ended up getting the abs, and just, what was that process like? And then what I'm really interested is, like, once you had the abs, how irritable were you? Because it's very difficult to maintain.
It's very difficult. So when I got the abs, I wasn't in high school. I was a little bit out of high school.
Yep.
And I just went full bore. Like, I would go to the gym sometimes 2 days.
Yep.
Two times a day.
Yep.
Or I remember even being in the gym and having, like, the people who work there going, my gosh, are you you're still here? Because that's how long I would be in there. Like, I would be in there like 3 hours and such. So it was, what I would do is I would wake up, I would drink like lemon water, big thing of lemon water. I would go run, then go sleep. I remember I was working a job. I think I started at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I would go run at like 4, be back, do a half an hour run after drinking that lemon water, then go to work. And then I would work 5 to 2. I'd probably eat maybe like drink like a glass of water. And I remember I would eat those Snyder's pretzels, the little snack packs.
Gosh. Yeah.
And that's all, that was it. Or maybe I had like one of those ramen, them little bowl of ramen things. I would eat that sometimes.
Because it was low fat.
And it was low fat. Was
yeah.
Yes. And that's it for the day. And then I would, right after that, I would hit the gym. I would go like, you know, so I would get out about 2:30 and I'd go right to the gym. And I think at those times I was taking one of those fat burners. It must have been Xenadrin or whatever it was in a blue bottle.
Those were huge back then. Rip fuel and all of them,
Yes, all that. And I lived on that and the metrics, because that was in the thing. And I would go to the gym, and I didn't do any cardio. I would just lift. Lift and do the sit-up bench, and it was like straight lifting for like, and I would just do everything. It was like bench press, then it was like pull-ups, then it was the sit-up rack, and then like then I would go do whatever it was always upper body. I didn't really care about the legs much. It was all upper body workout. Yeah, it was just upper body and abs. Like I would do the slant board and then I would do the ab cruncher and stuff. And I remember I remember at the time when I did actually see abs, I remember I was weighing about, at this time, I probably weighed about 145 or 142 was my lowest.
Yeah.
I felt miserable. Mm-hmm. I felt cold all the time. Mm-hmm. I felt weak all the time, but I would just push through. And I actually had abs maybe for a month or so.
Yeah.
Maybe a month because I could not maintain that because with the stuff, I remember I fell off hard and I put on like really quickly, like once I couldn't do the double sessions at the gym anymore. But yeah, I remember being that I probably was like maybe a size. I remember wearing the funniest thing is because I remember I had a pair of pants from then, and it was like my brother-in-law had come up from Jamaica.
Yeah,
and I remember my sister was like, oh, he needed some like because he came up he didn't understand that how cold it was here. And I remember he came from Jamaica and he was like staying with us. He was dating my sister at the time, and I remember him staying with us, and my sister was like, oh, here's a pair, you can have these pants, they're Chris's, they don't fit him no more. At that time I was probably like a size maybe size 36 or size 38 waist, and get, you know, it was much longer after. And he looked at the pants, and I think they were like size 28 waist. And he was like, Chris, this used to fit Chris. I remember looking at them. He's like, Chris, these was Chris's pants. And he was like, yeah, Chris was really skinny. He was really fit at one time. And he kept looking at them and kept looking at me and saying, no, no, I remember, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, I had got down to 142 and I had abs. And I remember when I showed, I remember when I did it, because I was even surprised when I looked in the mirror. I got up one day.
Yeah.
And I picked up my shirt and then I showed my sister and she was like, oh my gosh, thing. But like, the, you're like, you're like thing. And I remember just like, you know, she was like, look, abs. And then she was like, oh my God. But I remember, but I was, there was no way for me to maintain that. If I could not go on like that. And it was just like I said, I was cold. I was sick. I was snappy. I remember just shaking and being like somebody, I don't know how somebody could live like that. Constantly.
Well, because like, I mean, it takes a lot of work to get down to that. Mm-hmm. And then when you're trying to maintain it, it's all you've been thinking about. Like it's all you think about. And then mm-hmm. you're not eating a lot of food.
Nope.
You are cold all the time. You're very irritable. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about here, because my situation was similar to yours, where it's like, this was not me at my strongest. This was me. I think I was probably a good 15, maybe even 20 pounds lighter than where I probably should have been. Mm-hmm. I wasn't strong, but I had this look on this one area of my body. But like you said, as soon as I started eating like a somewhat normal person, the weight came back quickly. And then you've got the whole thing of like, even when you're like, I don't think I want to look like this anymore. When you start eating and you get on the scale and you see that you're up like, you know, 10 or 12 pounds and what seems like a couple of days, it's like, you know, you kind of start thinking about it again. But yeah. I mean, it wasn't the healthiest time for sure.
No, it definitely wasn't. And I remember when I had like looked back at pictures of me just seeing my face and seeing how withdrawn I looked and, you know, but at the time I didn't see it. Like my friends were like, you know, some of my friends were saying like, you're getting too small, and I'm thinking, well, I need to get the abs. This is how you get abs, you know. And I remember this and just going, you know, just like practically starving myself and doing like 2 hours and stuff. And then you got to think I was younger too, so it was like I'd do that, go to the gym for like 2 hours, and then go out clubbing like later. So I was like getting no sleep, no rest, you know, and working at, you know, at 5 in the morning. And such. So it was just like, you know, I was just burning my candles at both ends. There was no way I could keep up that lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm hearing this now as an adult, and I want to take a nap, man. I don't know
how. Exactly.
Like, it just a crazy schedule. I mean, like, you ever like look back at the stuff you did, and you're like, how was I even able to function at all? I mean,
exactly. But they always say, if you don't look back at your younger self and say you were so stupid, that means you're still stupid till this day. You know, you haven't gained any knowledge till this day. You don't look back.
If you're like, I had it figured it out. If you say I had it figured out so early in life, yeah, you probably need to question some things.
Exactly. Because I remember looking back, you know, I'm just like thinking, I was like, I'm looking back at myself and I'm looking at my kids and I'm like, you know, when I used to look at my parents, I thought they had it all figured out at this age. And now I just see, you know, I'm like, I wonder if they were just going off the cuff like I am. What did my kids see, you know? Like, boy, because I thought they had it all together, and I was like, I look back at them, I'm like, man, I don't know. But
well, and see, I think that's an interesting point too, because you have a completely different world now where everybody is connected and everybody is kind of sort of doing the same thing. So you've got guys that are our age that are in some cases dressing not that different from what they were doing like in their 20s and if not earlier. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, you know, you have a teenager. I have a teenager. Mm-hmm. You probably are doing similar things. Like, you know, you're spending some time. You're really connected within the Instagram community. Mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram. My son's on Instagram. It's kind of like, you know, there's still definitely, I don't want to misconstrue. There's definitely a line between parent and child, and I am not my son's best friend, and that's something that my wife and I set on early. But I do think it's different now, because whereas your parents growing up, there was definitely a generational divide. I think in some cases, just on day-to-day activities and appearance, there's a little bit of a blend that wasn't there before. So instead of seeing us as just these, you know, as the generation before, there is kind of some contemporary stuff to it, maybe.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, because, like, I could sit down with my son right now and he could be like, oh, you know, this new PS5 game is coming out. And even if I don't play it, I'm still like, I like my gaming. I don't play it as much anymore, but I could still talk to him one-on-one because I listen to gaming podcasts and such. And I could talk to him. Like, my father, he didn't know where. I remember having ColecoVision, and I remember him, he bought a bunch of games, and then it was like, he's like, I don't know. It was, he said in television, I figured it's vision, whatever. Here you go. And then I'm like, they won't work on the system, Dad. And he just didn't know anything and didn't want to know anything about it.
Yeah.
Was like, whatever, you know, so. But I know, you know, like, I can have that connect with my son, which, you know, I didn't have, you know, my parents didn't grow up with that stuff. They didn't know what the hell it is. They just hated it, you know, that I was hogging the TV all the time, because back in those days, you probably had one or two in the house, and, you know, so you had to wait until they were off of it before you even touched it. So, but
man, that's another thing. That's another thing too. Like, how many TVs do you guys have in your house right now?
Right now, constantly, 1, 2, we got like 6.
Yeah, well,
it's like 6. Yeah,
we are, because we just got my son just got one, a small one, in his room in the holiday for the holidays, and now we don't see him. It literally is like he has his own little apartment.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same with mine. My teenager. I hardly see him. Sometimes I'm here all day. Because with COVID, I'm working from home.
Yeah.
Maybe I might see him, like, he might come out and grab a soda and then say, hi, Dad. That's maybe, like, midday. And then I don't see him again until, like, maybe I might see him, like, when dinner time. He'll come out and and that's, like, it. And then he lives in his room. And he's got the headphones on, and he's chatting with his friends and blah, blah, blah. And that's it. It's like you said, he has his own apartment.
yeah. I mean, well, and that's exactly what it's like. And I mean, you would say, and it's kind of an interesting thing too, because, you know, I remember the automatic reaction to the electronics and the devices is they need to put them down. It's ruining them. Now, I think there can be a very, very strong case made about technology and limits and boundaries and the effects that it can have on somebody's mental health and their outlook. That's something absolutely, I absolutely agree with. But I also think that, you know, this is what they're growing up with. And I think we have to realize we're at a really interesting age because we've been part of seeing this stuff evolve.
Yes, we had both sides of it. That's what's really, because when we grew up, like, it didn't happen until, like, you know, probably mid to late 90s when everybody started on the, you know, the AOL and such. Like, we were before, like, where you still had to have personal contacts. If you were, when I used to go out, like, I went to a club with my wife. This was, like, before this whole COVID thing. We were like, oh, let's go out and dance and such. Let's go out dancing and stuff. So, you know, there's a club in Boston, and we went out, and I looked, and we're in the club and everybody is like, you know, the music's playing. Everybody's, you know, you got a couple of people out there dancing and everybody's looking down at their phones and, you know, or taking, you know, the selfie, like, hey, and everybody's like hyping up for the group selfie. And I'm like, look at my wife. And I said, you know what? I'm so glad I didn't grow up in this time. Like, when we used to go to the club, you know, it was that, and it was the experience, and you had to talk to other people and interact, and that's gone.
And if somebody was taking pictures, it was like the disposable Kodak. Yeah, exactly. Like, it wasn't.
Exactly. It was the disposable Kodak, and it was usually, like, you know, the guy who worked at the club, like, hey, you want me to take a picture with you and this girl, and I'll sell it to you for $3, you know? And because it was somebody who worked there, who that was part of their job. But
yeah, you come back next week and pick it up. Yeah,
exactly. But I remember it was like it. I'm just like, I don't. I get it, because, you know, once you post it, it's everybody's seeing that. That's your highlight on Instagram and such. But, like, nobody's in. I'm like, how are they even enjoying this? They're listening to music. They're bobbing their head, but everybody's in their phone. Everybody's in their phone, and nobody's interacting. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I'm just so glad that, you know, I didn't grow up in this time, you know. And like you said, I said, this aspect, I'm on Instagram every day, and I'm doing my thing and posting my workouts. My wife, she doesn't really care about it, and she's not into that. Her thing is Twitter and things. Yeah. She doesn't really care about my Instagram and such. But, you know, she, like, that's something I do every day, and, like, it's become almost like a second job or something, posting and doing all the tagging and stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah. But, well, you know, and what is your, so a couple of questions. What is your, what's your wife doing on Twitter? Is she just, like, trying to follow different stories? Different opinions?
Like, she's like one of the celebrities. She loves the whole celebrity thing, and who's fighting with this one and who's doing this one. People I don't care about, Kardashians and these rappers and this rapper's girlfriend, and, you know, like, this is like telling me, like, oh, Kobe Bryant's wife said that. I was like, why is she even, like, why do you even care what she says? You know, I care about the athlete themselves. Like, she's like, oh, you don't know him? I'm like, who's that? Oh, that's Des Bryant's wife. I'm like, well, I know Des Bryant, but I don't care about his wife. What does she do? you know stuff like that. I'm like, she's like watching stuff, and she's like, oh, that's Antoine Walker's ex-wife. I'm like, why do I care?
I bet you guys probably have some pretty interesting conversations. She tells you about the celebrities' wives, and you're probably like, hey, you know what? Nikki did her workout today.
Exactly. Yeah,
Jeremy beat everybody to posting in the story. Like, it's just
it's funny, because when she goes on Instagram, we live in the same house, and when she goes on Instagram, and I'm seeing what comes in her feed as opposed to what's in mine, and it's two totally different apps. It's two totally different apps. Like, I'm like, where do you even find some of this stuff? Her stuff is like all TikTok challenges and celebrities and stuff, and, you know, celebrities and clothing stuff. And mine is totally, you know, it's all workouts. It's all workout stuff, and it's all health stuff. And it's just like, wow, it's kind of funny. We both live under the same roof, and we look at the same apps, and we're getting two different just because of what she likes and what she does. It just, like, customizes it for her and customized for me. It's like, okay, Chris, I get, like, skateboarding videos, video game stuff, and workout stuff. And that's all that comes in my feed when I do my search. And her stuff is all, you know, random like, celebrities and, you know, where they're shopping and what they're doing for vacation. It's so funny. Because I know we were, you know, we had talked in one of your lives, we kind of touched on that subject too, about, you know, like the endorphins going and the notifications and how, you know, they get you to be attached. So
It is,
it's
yeah.
kind of
Well,
funny.
and see, that was the thing, because like in general, one, you're right, because Stacey and I have talked about her experience on Instagram, and it's completely different. And her thing is Facebook, but it's like watching these little cooking YouTube or cooking YouTube and Facebook pages where it's like tiny kitchen. So they make these little tiny versions, like almost like what I can't. It's almost like a dollhouse sized kitchen, but they make actual food. And she loves this, and she'll start sharing, like telling me about the things, and we'll be in bed at night, and she'll still be on her phone, which I can't even. Like it's funny when I get off the live, I'm like I set my phone on the I like I'm done. But she's in it, and she's watching. She's on it in bed, and like she'll show me this, and I'm like, your experience on social media is like completely different than mine. But yeah, the notifications, I think what it was is, in general, Instagram, I only have notifications for a few people. My clients, I have notifications for. And then like I started getting on Snapchat, and I guess I had when I originally downloaded Snapchat, I had notifications put on. And I mean, but I started. It's kind of like when you hear Slack, right? Like you hear that particular notification for Snapchat, you're just like, you know, you're picking your phone up. And what really tying this back to our kids, and this was kind of funny, is we were having dinner one night a few weeks ago, and I had my I guess the ringer was on my phone, which isn't normally the case, but it was. And we're sitting there, Max is on his phone, and Stacy's like going back to you know, get some more food for dinner. And then all these notifications came in, and she's looking at Max, and he's like not sure what's going on. And then he realizes, because he looked down, he thought it was his phone. And then he looks up at me and gives me like this little side glare, like, you know, I can't believe my dad is getting all these notifications from Snapchat. So it's just
Yes, because yeah, Snapchat is usually like, yeah, a lot of the younger kids, they love the whole the they love the Snapchat. I don't I'm on it, but I hardly use. I'm the only
It
reason why I got on it, there was somebody who I worked with, and I
yeah
remember, and he was like, "Oh, what's your Snap?" And I was like, "I don't use that." Like, he didn't even ask for my phone number. He was like, "Oh, what's your Snap?" Like, it was a younger, and
yeah
I set it up and I tried using it, and every time I opened it, it wanted to take a selfie of me. I was like, "What the hell is? I
it
don't
was
like
is
this."
yeah
I was
yeah
like,
I
"I
mean
don't
it
like
was,
this."
and it's like, and the funny thing, because I remember when I first got on there, I wasn't I had the same experience. I'm like, why do I have to go to the left and go to the right? Like, why can't I? Where's the navigation? And what ended up happening is because Instagram, like, man, it's good that Instagram has every single feature on it, but it becomes too busy. And what I had found, I just one day, like, I started just sharing my normal, like, just my normal day-to-day stuff. And like, I noticed people were actually watching. Now, a lot of them are from Instagram, but a lot of people are like my cousin that we talk to every so often. Like, she watches my stories, and she'll ask me questions about stuff. And then people I used to work with, you know, kind of a similar situation. It was like the same deal. You know, so it's kind of become just this little place where I share just my day to day. And it's kind of nice. And it's once you get into it, it's kind of intuitive. But like the other thing we talked about on live the other night, they all become just one more platform. And if it's just one more thing that you end up doing, that's like, I know Nikki was talking about, oh my gosh, Clubhouse, I think is what it's called, like this new one. There's a new one, and they're like, well, it's audio only. And she's like, you know, she's like, I thought it would be a perfect fit for you because you do so much of the audio stuff. And, you know, I told her I would check it out. I still haven't really been able to dive into it because, again, it ends up just being one more thing. So.
And actually, that same night, Gary Cantrell, I posted in his stories and saying, is this going to become just, he's like, I have a feeling this is going to become just like the other plan. And I was like, what is that? And then he was like, he said Clubhouse. And then it was the same night Nikki talked about it on the live. So but I haven't looked at it yet, and I don't know if I'm going to be going there. Like, I know in the beginning, me and you had actually was on the TikTok, and I did it a couple of times. I did a couple of times, like I posted a couple of things, but then I never went back to it. And then I got another phone, and then it said the version was outdated and wanted me to update it, and I never did. And I never went back to it after that. Like I used it for
Yeah.
probably like 2 months, and that
Well, and
was it.
I got my original. Now, I remember because Max was in middle school and it was Musical.ly. It was actually before it was even TikTok. And they were on it all the time. And basically what it was just lip syncing videos. It's pretty much all it was. So like I got on there and my profile was basically I'm just here to embarrass my kid, basically. And but then I started like I put a couple like I did some lip syncing videos and like songs from the 80s and 90s and whatever, but I didn't really do anything with it. And then when everything happened with TikTok, I didn't get on it right away because I'm like, oh man, like I don't want it's just I just didn't want to be a part of it. And then even now because I'm on there, I post some things every so often, but I'm not. I'm not on there that much. I know a lot of people get on there and just watch videos, and they're like, you just, it's like 15 seconds at a time, and pretty soon you've been watching it for like 45 minutes to an hour. And I'm like, man, I definitely don't want to get into that. So.
My wife does that, and she will show me stuff, and then like, cause she like I'm like you. When I get to bed, like my phone, I put it away. I don't have it near me because I don't want to look at it. I don't want anything. I just disconnect because I've been on it all day, and so it's like I put it away. But she's like your wife, and she watches, the stuff, and she'll go on TikTok, and then she'll show me stuff, and then she'll keep scrolling through, and I'll be like, some of the stuff is funny, and I'll laugh, and then she'll go down the rabbit hole, and then it's like all night until like I'm like, okay, I don't want to see anymore. Like I've already watched like 12 videos. I'm good. You can do whatever you want. And then she rolls over, and I can still see, the light coming from the phone, and she's still watching them. So, and I'll just go to bed. But yeah, that I know she hasn't posted anything on there, but she's like one of the ones who just like watches all the content. There's only so much body yaddy 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 videos I can watch. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to hear that. I hate that song. Get it away from me.
Well, and from what I've seen, I mean, they are so smooth about going from one clip to the next. I mean, I can see how you could totally get lost in it, but yeah, man, that's totally not going to be for me. But I know, I mean, a lot of people enjoy it, and we'll see. I mean, there's always new things. Some of them take off, but.
Yep, because they remember. I remember Vine was like the big thing before. It was before TikTok when the Vine videos was, the little
Oh
clip
yeah,
videos, and
and Vine, I'll tell you what, because like man, Vine was big for a couple of years, and then once it went away, there was always talk of there being a Vine 2. And then they released one earlier. It was either end of last year or early this year, or excuse me, end of 20. It was either 2019 or 2020, and it was called Bite. And this thing came out on a Friday. And because this was Vine 2, and I'm like, I mean, that's my work. Like we do social media stuff for creators. And like, so, I've been hearing about this thing forever, and I went on the App Store. It was number one on the App Store. I'm like, okay. So I downloaded it, and it was big for like 3 days, and then it just kind of went away. But yeah, I mean, it was like it was Vine, so it was like it was like 6 to 10 seconds long on the video clips. But I think by that point, everybody had either TikTok or I don't know if Instagram Reels had come out at that point or not. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of like that moment in time of just having that feature on a platform had gone away. But yeah, I mean, it's there's all kinds of social media apps. It's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. But and I mean, like you said, we just grew up in a funny time where it's like we went from like the Stone Ages to George Jetsons, and we got to live it. It's kind of weird. We got to see both sides of it. And
Well, and I think the other thing is like again, when we were kids, we would think being the ages that we are now, you're old. But I feel like you still feel like young. I mean, like on the inside, you feel not that much different than you did in your 20s, except as you said before, hopefully you've, you know, smartened up a little bit.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, being this age is completely different than I thought it would be.
Exactly, because I thought, like, yeah, I figured you'd just be ancient. And you'd, you know, somebody told me that, like, they'd be like, reach 40, I'd be like, yeah, that's nursing home. I don't think I have much more years left. Exactly. You know, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, I was like, they saw party is over. It's done. And then, like you said, I don't feel much different. Yes, priority wise, much different, yeah, because I remember in my 20s, I remember getting. I'll never forget this. This is how I have my priorities set up because of vanity. I remember getting a check from, was working at Radio Shack. I made a 2-week check of $270. And I remember going to the mall that day and buying a pair of Timberlands and a Tommy Hilfiger sweater that came out to $260. So that means for the next 2 weeks, I would have $10 in my pocket. And you think I thought twice about purchasing those items? No. Just so I can go to the club and be like, hey, look, I got the Tommy Hilfiger shirt and these boots, these Timberland boots.
Man, I mean, it was – and because, see, I worked retail also, and I was in – this was not commission sales. This was just working in retail. I worked for – It was Structure, and then it was Express. And it was the same, like it was the same thing. Like you'd get a paycheck for 250, and you'd have 230 of it spent. They convinced us all that we needed the credit card. So you basically, I mean, like, yeah, you're feeling good. You're feeling good until that bill comes in at the end of the month, and you're like, man, but like you look good. You're wearing this stuff to your job. You're wearing this stuff, you know, when you're going out, like, but yeah, I mean, it's funny. And I think that's the thing too. Like, I think being in your 30s and your 40s and you've had success, you have responsibilities, you're able to manage things. I think this is just a really, really enjoyable time. And if you're, you know, with the community we're in, with the health and fitness, I mean, if you're taking care of yourself too, and like you're feeling strong and you're feeling good, I mean, it's a great time. And this kind of goes against the whole thing when you would see those images in the magazines and the traditional media of like, you know, you got to get all this done before you're 30, and you've got to, and that's actually, I think before the body image stuff, I think that was always the message to guys,
like, to get it in early because you can't obtain these, you know, these aesthetics in your older ages. But then again, you kind of realize like you said, your priorities are different. Yes, I go to the gym. Yes, I work out daily, but I'm not trying to be the guy in the magazine. I just want to be healthy. So I'm there at all. So when I do reach 50, 60, so I could still move around, like, you know, and I could still, you know, do my day to day stuff and be there for, you know, be around for my kids. And you're trying to make it, you know, so that, you know, so that way you're able to, you know, just do your day to day. Like, I don't want to be the guy, you know, caught up in the wheelchair or, hey, you know, I got type 2 diabetes, like I see my father, and I have to be, you know, pricking myself and taking a shot every day. Like, I'm trying to keep my weight down to avoid stuff like that. And that's my driving goal now. I know I will never be the guy in the magazines. I don't want to be that person. What am I going to do that for? I just want to be healthy for my family and to be there for my family. So, priorities.
It's just you. And as you said, I mean, when you were training, when you were younger, cause I did that stuff too, where you're like working out 2+ hours a day. Sometimes you're on these crazy diets. You're not healthy. You get to a point where, like, I mean, I still, and I've told you this, like the fitness is becoming my outlet again, which is good, but the way I train is completely different, and it is more, it's more balanced. It's not just lifting. And I even shared with you, I've been watching the Jeff Cavalier, the guy at Athlean X, and the way that he recommends training abs and core, I really like, because it's, it basically is almost like a daily, I would call it almost a stretching routine. Now, when we were talking about six packs in our 20s, I mean, you're still doing a lot of like dynamic moves and stuff. It's not all just static holds, but like, I remember doing the torso twists with the 45 pound plate. In this case, it's more about when you're training, it's, I'm actually just holding on to a yoga block when I'm doing these twists, just so I have something to hold on to, but it's more about just a controlled contraction. But I don't have, I've been training my core pretty much on a almost daily basis for like 2 or 3 weeks. I don't have that kind of fatigue that you come to expect when you're doing abs every day or every other day when you were training like a, you know, like the guy in the 20s. Right. So like, yeah, I mean, it's something I do, but you're right. Like it's, this is basically for quality of life. And I like feeling strong. I like feeling, you know, the way that I do, but yeah, your priorities are just completely different.
When you did, when you actually sent me that video, I actually watched Drew and I liked the way he had it. He had it in like little bite size, like, hey, this is what you, and it wasn't anything crazy. Like he was like, hold a plank and hold it just a little bit longer every time. And it was like, you know, there were a lot of them were stuff. I took a couple of yoga classes before, and some of them, the holds were just like, you know, were essentially yoga holds. And he was just like, just a little bit more every time. And he was just like, you know, and he's like, once we got on that, you know, he was like doing like, you know, the legless, we used to call them 3 inches in football. And I didn't know why we were doing them. I don't know why we would do them at that time, but he was just like, yeah, hold that. And if you can hold that, that's the part of your, ab that you want to activate. And he was just hold that pose for a little bit, now try to hold it a little bit lower and a little bit longer, you know. And it was just like bite size. It wasn't anything crazy. Like you said, that's what we used to do. If you wanted big abs, you take the 45 plate, you cross your arms around it and get on the slant board and keep lifting it till it's almost at a 90-degree angle and try to pull yourself up. You know, and that was it. That's all you had.
You would do that, and then you would get off the slant board, and you would pick it up. You would do the twists, and heaven forbid that you actually laid all the way back on the slant board while you're holding that, because it strain your abdomen. But then you would actually, you know, a day or two later, you would try to train them again, and like you'd have, I would have like bruises on my stomach because I was training them too hard. Oh my gosh, just
that was a sign, like we're doing them right. He's badass. I remember being in high school in football, and like I remember this kid Rick, like he was just like cut, like he just looked like he was like he had 10 years on everybody there. And I remember he'd be like taking up his shirt, be like, look at my burgers, and he had like abs like a six pack. I mean, this kid, I remember he had like a goatee when we were like sixth grade. So I mean, he was just like, you know, testosterone.
Yeah. Oh,
and I remember seeing him. He was like, look at my burgers, and like he would always lap us at gym. It was him and this other kid. Like we used to call them the Twin Towers. And we would just like, you know, and they were at GNC every day with the creatine. They'd open their lockers, and it would look like a GNC store with all the metrics and the GNC and this burner and that burner and stuff.
And I'll tell you, I mean, like, first off with metrics, when you mentioned that before, I thought of that nasty triple berry shake that they had. And this was before you had like recipe sites. There was no Pinterest board of like smoothie recipes.
You go to GNC and you'd find the jackest dude behind the counter and say, what do I buy? And then every week they would, and the funny thing is, you would go in there, they would grab a bunch of stuff, and you'd go back the next week and stuff would be pulled off the counter. They no longer sold it because, you know, they were all, you know, this crap was no good for you, and it was all bypassing the FDA. So they would put it out, you know, sell, and then it was like he would grab the most expensive tub of whatever, and you would get that, and you'd go back next week, and then but this is a new formula and this one, and they would just keep switching them out, and you just go for the most expensive thing because that's what would work, or what you saw in the magazine, that's what you would get. So I mean, And you like you said, there was no YouTube, there was no recipes, there was no nothing. So you did
Yeah,
whatever the guy behind the counter told you.
it was the guy. It was the most jacked guy, and it was like I still remember. And man, well, see, this is what happens. But see, we always have stuff that we can talk about on the next podcast. So we'll talk
Yep.
about the I Want to Look Like That Guy
Oh,
documentary
yeah.
because
Yes.
that was fun. We'll talk about that next time.